This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about home security. I guess there's always a lot going on in the world, and, there's always something to be worried about, and now I think the latest thing is, banks collapsing or financial crisis. There's always something, that you need to be thinking about. And whenever there's unrest, you seem to get a lot more of that. As people panic or, get crazy, there's a lot more, home invasion and just burglary in general. And
during the pandemic, crime went through the roof. And, that's really because everybody was out of work,
Exactly.
That whatever it was, the stimulus checks go so far. But if you were unemployed and your wife was unemployed and you got kids and grocery bills are going up and you can't find toilet paper, people get a little weird.
Exactly. So there's a lot of things that you can do that are basic, obvious steps. One of the things they always talk about is like OPSEC, and it's kind of a little bit different thing. With home security, I think OPSEC is what comes to mind for me with home security is not putting your brand new tractor on Facebook. Not putting, you leave all your cool stuff just kind of laid out in the front lawn. I know I had a kid who always used to leave his bike, right out front. And I'm like, you got to put your bike back in the shed. And sure enough, one day, mm-hmm. bike is gone. And somebody took it and some other kid is out there happy riding your bike, and that's what happens. So, but it doesn't just work for kids. You leave your four-wheeler out in the yard because you're too lazy to put it away. Then it's kind of like, hey, come take my stuff. So thinking about that stuff
I had a pushed lawnmower stolen from my yard once and that, 100% my fault. I was talking to a police officer a couple weeks later and he's like, I saw a guy pushing a lawnmower down the side of the highway last week after it was stolen. He goes, I just assumed he was going to mow some friend's lawn, but
right, you just don't know.
The guy worked for it. It wasn't a ride-on mower; it was a push mower.
Right, that's commitment.
He apparently had miles and miles to go to take it. So, good luck, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy that $200 lawnmower that took you 4 hours to steal.
Hey, wouldn't you rather have that lawnmower? So that's, you know, he's still got to win. He still got something.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And he worked for it. I mean, he earned it.
Yeah. That's so, anyway, think of ways to, like, one, keep your stuff hidden. And that's really the OPSEC stuff. You don't want your house, right. You know, I know we've mentioned right. this don't, before. You don't want your house to look like there's something worth taking. Like when it's the armed fortress
right.
with cameras visible everywhere and, you know, all that nonsense. You need to think about that.
Mm. Yeah, and there is the idea of deterrence. You know, if you put like a security alarm sign in your front yard, you know, this house is protected by ADP or whatever it is, you might get somebody to go to the next door neighbors, but... you know, there's a certain point where people see that house and, like, they really have something that they're trying right. to protect in there.
And, you know, when the power's out or when they know that the cops aren't responding, then, and, you know, mm-hmm. we like to think that that never happens. You know, oh, there's never a time when 911 won't work. Yeah, that's not mm-hmm. really true.
Right.
So it turns out they do get overwhelmed, and it does take some time for them to... you know, respond sometimes. So just be aware of that. And again, with a major power outage, with major, you know, criminals and the less savory types might take advantage of that. And that's something to, you know, keep in mind. But, you know, just be aware of what's going on. So anyway, how can we basically make our house a little bit more secure? What are some things we could add?
Let's start yeah. with the outer perimeter and work our way into the house.
All right.
So the first thing I would say is, you know, setting up perimeter alarms. Oh. Like, you know, if you have a long driveway or something like that, you know, it'll give you a little bit of heads right. up that somebody's so, heading in your direction.
Yeah, I always saw for $35, I see this driveway alarm, and it has a half mile transmitting power was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So you could put one back. I have it yet back at the barn doors, you know, to keep things from, hey, somebody gets in there. And again, you maybe even put it right inside the barn door. If somebody opens it and goes in, you know, it depends on the wildlife activity, you know, by your yard. If, you know, right. or you could set up like a blind spot so that, you know, it's between, you know, only the front foot of my barn door, you know, so a deer walking by isn't really going to be a problem. But I know if somebody goes and opens my door and goes in and is loading my tractor out or whatever, you know, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. that right. matters. Obviously, a driveway that could be far away or maybe a side yard that kids keep coming through, whatever it is you're worried about, you know, the angry squirrels, whatever's bothering you. A driveway mm-hmm. alarm could be a good step.
Get those squirrels. Yeah.
Fencing?
After that, I would move into fences. Yeah. You know, anyone can climb a fence. You know, a basic, you know, wooden stockade fence, though, is going to keep people from being able to see what you have around, you know? Let it be a surprise. They, you know, they have to hop up and look over the fence to see what you got in your yard to even... you know, get started thinking about
it. Right, and then when you have the angry pit bull sitting there, it's kind of a, you know, oh, maybe I shouldn't have jumped there.
Right. Yeah. Right, right. And you know, it's not really realistic to put a big stockade fence all the way around your property. Some people do it. You know, if you have a small yard and you live in an urban area, you know, you can do that. That's a good idea. And obviously, you can go up from a stockade fence to, you know, chain link with barbed wire on top. You could do a, you know, cinder block or cement walls with broken glass on the top.
Right, right. You know, I know
you can get as crazy as you want to get.
Right. In New York, I know the old Italians, there was maybe one wall builder, because I'd see them all around the town, you know, that I lived in there, that would put like kind of jagged stonework on the top of the stone walls. And
so you can't,
it would make
over.
It just right. uncomfortable. You know, again, it's right. not that anybody couldn't jump over it. It's just that it wasn't going to be easy to jump over it. And that's something, mm-hmm. you know, you might want to consider.
When I was in South America, in Argentina, it was commonplace that everybody had an 8-foot concrete wall around their house. I mean, it was in South America, if somebody breaks into your house and you want the police, you have to go to the police station and fill out a report. They're not coming to your house to
There's
help.
There's no 911 hotline.
Nah, they're not rolling out there. They don't have that kind of manpower down there because they, whatever. I mean, that's probably better. I'd prefer that kind of system myself, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's what the budgets dictate. You know, you decide what you want out of the world, right? You know, people are like, mm-hmm. oh, we don't need government. And then when they're like, well, you understand there's no firefighters, no policemen.
Right, nobody's coming.
No ambulance. It's like, well, maybe I want a little bit of government, you know?
And yeah. Then, yeah. So there when I was staying there, this is Resistencia was the name of okay. the town in Argentina. And it's it was standard that everybody had dogs and everybody had high walls around their
Was it a
house.
Dog pack or just dogs?
Everybody had a couple of All dogs, right. too, at least. The house I was staying at, they had their dogs were really friendly. Like, I don't think they would bite anybody if they broke into the house. But next door, they had a couple of Dobermans there, and
they set the standard. Yeah, you didn't want to jump over their fence. Yeah, right. Yeah, that sounds right.
You know, after fences, though, I think another great thing for the outside perimeter is the motion activated floodlights. Some places that you know, I guess that. There are rules against those in certain
really?
Certain places, okay. you know, like homeowners associations and things like that. You have to pay attention, but honestly, you know, whatever. Screw those people.
All right.
But you can set those up so that they're, you know, you don't want them facing towards your house. You don't want to be blinded through your window. You know, you want it facing away, you know, in your house facing towards your property or you know, on your property, right. away from your house, but not facing towards
right.
your house.
But your neighbor's
you
window,
light
that's
them up,
okay.
but not light you
right.
up.
Yeah, you can do right. whatever. But yeah, no, protecting your own, that's exactly what it's about. I know Sunforce makes some pretty cool solar ones that come on through motion and work out really great. They're available on Amazon.
Yeah, I have a couple of
right.
them.
Right, and they just...
They're nice.
They
work
well.
Well,
and they're great for, you know, something that's going to be out away, you know, an outbuilding that maybe doesn't have an electricity, you know, a shed or
right,
something like
right.
that.
It's just got a little solar plant panel. You know, I mean, everybody's got those little solar lights now where, you know, you have them in your backyard or your whatever.
They're great.
But these are, you know, they're floodlights and they're
right.
bright.
And they'll collect they all day work. And then, you know, just if you use them sparingly, you know, maybe not your all night long light, although... I've used some of them for where I get like a good 4-hour shot. You know, it'll charge up all day and then 4 hours of bright light, you know, into the night or whatever. And it
right.
it gives you a little more, you know, security around the homestead kind of thing. Now, think about bushes and stuff. They talk about, you know, you don't want it that somebody can just kind of like walk up on your porch and slip in your window. Or a lot of times people will have lower side windows on their mm-hmm. house, maybe having some bushes or something. Now, again, bushes that would make it uncomfortable to want to climb through there, not bushes
right, not something
to hide.
That's just going to conceal yeah, you. Yeah.
To hide criminals hiding outside your window. You know, that's the kind of thing. You want to make it a bush that nobody wants to hide in.
Yeah. Yeah, I had heard somebody... talking about putting poison ivy around the outside of the house.
That has long-term benefits, but it doesn't have...
Yeah, it doesn't... It's not going to stop somebody from getting in your house. They're not even going to realize they're rolling around in poison ivy until they already have all your stuff at their
house. A week later, they're going to be like, no! Or 2 days,
I mean, rose
days,
bushes
whatever.
Look nice, and they've got thorns, and, you know, that's... You know, depending on the sunlight you have around your house, that might be a good option. But there's a lot of, you know, bad looking bushes that also have prickers all over them that grow anywhere.
Now there's a couple options for your windows. So we talked about, you know, maybe how to obscure your windows from the outside. The next thing is you want to have good locks on your windows and make sure they're actually locked when they're closed. I know sometimes summer months we want to open our windows or have screens and different things like that. I got you there. We're going to talk about that. But having a solid lock for when it's not, you know, not summertime, then that's a plus. So that's step one. Step two, 3M makes a sheet film that you can you're not exactly making your windows bulletproof, but let's say hammer and pry bar and rock through the window proof. And they make
more difficult to get through
now,
that window.
If you went on Amazon and searched like 3M security film, this is, they sell this stuff. And I think I saw, like 36 inches by 12 feet was like $40. You can buy it with a mirror tint. You can buy it with a like tinted windows. You can buy even like kind of colored tints. They have a bunch of options available to you. And with that, basically, I've watched videos. I mean, you'd have to see the different thicknesses and what you choose. You know, it's kind of one of those you get what you pay for. But they had people kind of smacking with a baseball bat. And it's basically a minute or two before they can get through. And especially if you have something like a big glass slider or something like that that you're worried about, it buys you time, right? Can somebody shoot a gun through it? Yeah. But can somebody shoot a gun through your wall? Yeah. So, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And at least if you're that paranoid, you could do the tint where it's mirrored or something, so they can't even see where they're aiming at. That would buy you just like them shooting blindly through your wall, you know? That's an option. Let me see. The 3M film. The other option would be bars, or where were you going to go? Yeah?
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to talk about. Now, a lot of people don't like those because they don't look good. It looks like you've got bars on your windows. You know what I mean? It looks like your house is a prison, but they're effective. They work.
And we can look into some like decorative options. There are some things that you're always going to look like you have bars on your window. And depending how much coverage you're getting. Now, a lot of other people will consider shutters. Shutters are good, but again, they're not stopping bullets unless you're having big iron shutters. And if you have steel shutters, it's gonna, you know, like obviously shooting targets, I shoot at 3/8 inch plate, right? With the 5.56. So if you had 3/8 inch steel shutters, but those are serious shutters and people don't understand the weight that would be required there, but it's an option. I mean, you know, you got to keep your options open. I have plywood I had a source to get plywood really cheap, and I have a lot of plywood available to me, and I actually have stacks that I can cover all my windows with plywood, and that's great for visibility, and it's honestly great for a guy with a pry bar or a guy with, you know, different things. It's going to slow him down, but it's not going to stop bullets. But you know what really is, right? Unless you're living in the steel house, you know, the other option you need to start looking into if you're worried about that is like sandbags and, you know, something that's really going to put a stop to things.
Yeah, I know in a lot of places with high crime, you know, a lot of the houses are actually built with cement and cinder blocks and, you know, bars on the windows. That's normal. You know, that's standard practice in a lot of places, in a lot of countries.
No, that's definitely a way to go. So you just have to decide what's right for your area. All right. Now, what other things can we do? So, one, I hate to say it, some of you are going to be shocked and offended, but having a firearm, that's an important part to your home security. And then I would add step two, learning how to use your firearm accurately. It's an important
buying a handgun and putting it in your night, loading it, putting it in your nightstand, and then never using it is a good way to end up accidentally shooting your kid or something. You know what I mean? No, you should know how to operate a firearm. I'm not saying don't keep a loaded handgun. What I'm saying is know how to use a loaded handgun. Know how to handle a gun. That there's a lot of people I know that own firearms that are went to the range one time and that was it. Good enough.
Now, that's very typical of how people are. I mean, I know a lot of cops who shoot once a year when they qualify. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's 2 hours a year is enough.
Oh, I go qualify, I shoot, and I just have to hit like a man-sized target. If I hit it anywhere in there, I'm good. I'm not saying all cops have that standard and whatever. I'm sure, you know, LAPD or something, they're going to the range 5 times a week and whatever. That all may be.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, I work right next to a police firing range, and it's like you said, it's once a year. 2 hours once a year, and maybe those guys go somewhere else and do it on their own time. But for qualifying with firearms, it's once a year for 2 hours in this particular town. I'm not saying that.
So just assume small town, you know, people aren't exactly training. And if you actually can hit somebody, that's more power to you. That's it. I can go out with my handgun and I'm hitting the 8-inch steel circle at 50 yards. 50 yards is awesome with a handgun, and that's how you should be.
And the truth is with a handgun, it's never going to be 50 yards. It's always going to be closer than that.
It's going to be 10 or less is realistic, which 10 yards is 30 feet. You know, that's still, or it's like 27 or something. Yeah, I don't know. But you get the idea. It's still significant. All right. What else? I mean, so yeah, obviously it's funny. One of my kids was like, oh, you know, I have this umbrella that I have for security that I keep by the door. So if somebody comes in, I can poke them. Yeah, that's what I said. And I was like, but you left a walking stick outside the door that they can pick up and automatically have a better weapon than you do. I'm like, think about what you're doing. And they were like, oh, so I should remove the walking stick? And I'm like, no, actually the walking stick is good because now when I shoot them, I can be like, look, they had a weapon. They had a stick when they were coming in. It's just understand your weapon, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about doors real quick. So there's obviously some basic fundamentals, you know, putting the 3-inch deck screws in your hinges and putting deadbolts and things like that. That should be something that's obvious to everybody. The more steel you have keeping your door closed, the better off you're going to be. And you know, people have multiple doors. It's just something to think about around your house. You know, if you can just slide a deadbolt on every door in your house before you go to bed, you know. But, you know, here's another thing. A lot of people don't even lock their doors at night.
I know it.
You know? So, I mean, that would be the first step, is just locking your door.
And actually go around. I mean, honestly, you'd probably be 30% ahead of your neighbors if you walked around and made sure every window that was closed is actually locked. And then when you start opening and closing them, you actually lock them. When you do, you know, I hear a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, they don't lock really good. They don't close that good anymore. You know, the plastic's starting to flex and, you know, get funny. Well, you have to do something about that.
Yeah. Joke's on you. All my windows are painted shut.
Oh, there you go. Now, that's a winner.
Now you could also get, for 10 grand, I was looking this up, for 10 grand, it's $10,500, you can get a man trap door system, which is, it's basically a vestibule that you would have in your entrance, where you have to open, and close one door before you can open the second door. In other words, you can buzz somebody in from inside into the vestibule, okay, and then just leave them there. You know what, yeah, I mean? They're just going to be trapped till the cops show up. I mean, I don't know what you're into. Maybe you're into, like, you know, weird torture stuff, you know? Maybe you're, you know, the people under the stairs type people, and that's just something you're into. Maybe you want to call the cops. I don't know what you do in your private,
right,
life.
You know, you might have business, a backhoe and a hole and whatever. Yeah.
Do whatever you want with the person once you got them, right, trapped in there.
Somebody mentioned metal doors. Metal doors are great, yeah, and they are not that expensive, although I know I was looking at some on Amazon that were like $2,500, but it was like a big double door, and it looked awesome, and, you know. Yeah, I mean, anything can be whatever you want it to be, right? But there are reasonably priced, right, metal doors that make it so much easier. Dude, my door, it's still like thin pine, like you could just like, yeah, punch through it, my front door. Mm-hmm. You know, they never know what they're gonna get on the other side, but they it's not exactly the stronghold, and my wife and I have had many discussions about it already of how it needs to be upgraded, right. I do have a good storm door that's really heavy, and actually you'd have a harder time getting through the storm door on the outside than you would getting through the door,
right,
on the inside, but yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's you know, one of the things that we're talking about here is defense in depth. You know what I mean? You want to have a series of steps that are going to prevent you from getting your house robbed or broken into. Home invasion is a crime that doesn't happen very, yes, often. But when it does, it's right, bad. It does never end well for anybody involved, you know? But I mean, your door is the typical place that somebody's going to, yes, try and get in before they even try for the windows. So that should be your first step is making sure you have. And like you said, those metal doors come with big metal frames, yes, and it's a lot harder to break those doors down. It would be easier to pick a lock, right, on something like that than it would be to break it down.
Exactly, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, an extra step, an extra layer. And that's the thing, too. Like, you can upgrade your lock from maybe Kwikset to Schlage, or you can go from Schlage to better quality locks that are actually going to, you know, be tougher to pick. And there's all different levels. And that's the thing. You can have things that you can just lock from the inside. You know, that's, right, another option, too, where you're not leaving a lock pick set, you know, as your line of defense. You know, you're...
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And when you have something like a deadbolt that you can just close from in the inside and lock it when you're in there, you know, you can't use it when you're, right, away, but something like that is really gonna slow things down, because it's not, you know,
right,
it's not as easy to break a door down that's got some, you know, got some security features added,
right,
to it.
And you had mentioned the hinges and bigger screws and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your strike plate, all that stuff. You know, it's just worth tightening things up. They, you know, all these systems come with, you know, these little, you know, 1-inch screws and stuff like that, and you can replace them easy enough, and it'll add a, you know, it'll slow things down. Anything that you talk about, though, if somebody really wants to get, yeah, in your house, they can. You know, anything we're talking about is just an extra layer of defense, but it's not, nothing is ever going to be a perfect system. Right. Now, a lot of people have alarm systems, like the Ring cameras and that sort of stuff. They're very inexpensive, right, now, and they're very cheap.
Now, Ring does...
specifically, Ring, yeah, though...
Go ahead.
I would not recommend it. If somebody breaks into the house across your street, the police can actually talk to... Is it Amazon that owns that now?
Amazon owns Ring, yeah.
Yeah, so they can get access to your camera, even if your house wasn't broken into, without you even, you know, having to be told about it.
Right. Because in theory, they're thinking, oh, it's a public space. It's outside. You have no privacy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Right.
Think about what you're doing. I have, like, some Chinese company security cameras or something. And I did take a really long time committing to cameras. But I got to say, now that I did, I mean, it was like nothing. It was like $120 or something. And they make ones that are wireless, and I don't have to pay money a month. I just pull it up on my phone, and I can, because as long as the home box is connected to my Wi-Fi, it sends it out to the internet, which, yeah, somebody else can look at my cameras, probably if they're a hacker or whatever. But whatever, they're going to see my outside yard, yeah, if that's what they want to do.
Xi Jinping in China is actually watching your yard all
and
the time.
When that's I'm out peeing in the front lawn, he knows about it, sure. Right. But, you know, I also have the upside of, hey, who broke in my chicken coop last night? Or, hey, you know, who was over looking around my yard and, you know, whatever. Anything happens, I know what's going on. And I made the effort and had to do wired cameras because living in a log house, the Wi-Fi is a little questionable, you know, transmitting about. But they make Wi-Fi cameras that if you're in most houses, you could just screw them up. And for $100, you're like camera and rolling in no time. If you wanted to message us at preppingbadass@gmail.com, I'd be happy to show you what cameras I think I was talking about. But, you know, really there's a lot of great options out there.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about, you know, economic collapse, solar flare, shit gets crazy, the banks close, nobody can get money. Things are getting wild outside. Okay. And it's just you. It's just you and your wife, and maybe you got two little kids that can't even hold guns yet. You got to have full force multipliers. So let's talk about a couple of these things. Now, foot traps.
Oh, that's, tell me.
It's basically a bear trap, and it's very much against the law to set those up in your property in the United States and in most places. However, in England, you can actually set up a bear trap as long as it's inside your house between sunset and sunrise as a defense for burglars. I don't know. Maybe it's worth having one. I don't know. It's a little bit creepy to me to let somebody step into something like that. But, I mean, because you don't know who's going to set it off. That's the problem with these types of things. It's in the United States, it's illegal all the time because I guess firefighters and EMTs try and get in your house after you have a heart attack and call 911 and pass out. All right. It's against the law to have them anywhere ever.
Okay.
But let's talk about spring traps. That's basically like a shotgun, right? Shotgun trap. So this was a common thing in the United States. People would set it up. But there was one event that kind of changed things. In 1971 in Iowa, a guy named Briney inherited a house. And it was kind of back in the woods, and it was pretty much abandoned. And a guy named Katko was out there hunting, and he came across this house. And he went into the house. He thought it was abandoned. He went into the house and found a bunch of bottles in there, you know, like preserves and stuff like that. And he collected bottles. So he took all the bottles with him. And when the guy came to take a look at his house, he saw that somebody had gone in and taken stuff out of it. So he set up a spring trap with a shotgun. And his wife convinced him to not have it aimed like mid-level, but have it aimed at, you know, towards the legs, towards, you know, lower down. And so, you know, it worked. The guy came into the house again to look for bottles, and it pretty much blew his leg off. You know, it just mutilated his front leg, you know, as he stepped through the door. And he sued him. And yeah, apparently that's against the law to do it. Now, it's not against the law because you can't defend your home.
Right.
It's against the law because protecting property is not more important than protecting life. That's what the courts ruled. So if you were in your house and you shot somebody that broke in, that's different than if you're not around and you just have a trap set like that. So there was a big lawsuit, And a lot of other states misunderstood what the situation was, and there's a whole bunch of laws passed afterwards in different states saying, no, no, you can defend your house. But it's not, it's still the same situation in almost all these states where you can defend yourself when you're in your house, but you can't just set up a trap like that that will indiscriminately shoot whoever comes through your door if you're not around, you know? That doesn't mean you can't set it up, especially if shit's getting crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to do. A little bit of bailing wire and a shotgun, and you're set to go, man. But, you know, I would recommend that you have it aimed towards somebody's chest, not somebody's legs, you know?
You got to put them down.
You're going to set it up.
Because they don't sue you when they're dead.
Yeah, it's hard to sue somebody. Yeah, if you're dead. Exactly.
No, their family might, but, you know.
That wasn't the only time this happened.
Tell me more.
It actually happened once in 1775 in the Commonwealth of Virginia, in Williamsburg, actually. The British had set up some of these shotgun traps.
Yes.
Let's see. So two men were breaking into the British military magazine, and it set it off, and it injured both of them. People lost their shit, dude. It was called the Gunpowder Incident, and people lost their shit. Everyone went wild about this, and the governor, Dunmore, had to flee the state. You know, he's a British installed governor, and he had to get out. And they declared the Commonwealth of Virginia in a state of rebellion. That was basically the incident that set it off in Virginia. You know. People lost their shit. But it also, you know, also the Berlin Wall. They had mines set up, but they also had these shotgun traps set up. And, you know, it has killed people that tried to escape from Berlin in the 50s and 60s. So, I mean, it's not an uncommon situation. It's easy to set up. It's inexpensive. You don't even have to have an actual shotgun. You can just have a barrel and have it. You can build this at home. You can set this up at your house for probably $20-$30. Pretty cheap, man. So there's a lot of illegal stuff that you can do to protect your house. I just want to be clear that it's illegal. It's against the law. Don't get caught doing it.
No.
That doesn't mean you can't do it, though.
Well, Kevin, we all follow the laws.
It's only against the law if you get caught.
Oh, okay. So I should take that. Mm-hmm. Hang on. I got a...
Take this as legal advice.
Wait, I actually have... All right, if you were watching this on YouTube right now, you would see that it says, we are not lawyers. This is just entertainment. No way should anything Kevin said ever be taken as factual.
Right. This is not... I don't... Everything I say is sarcastic, but also I'm a lawyer, and this is legal advice. You should set up shotgun
I traps. Needed a bigger graphic to put across the screen right now that I don't have.
Right.
I'm going to work on that for next week. I would say you want to make sure you like and subscribe while I'm throwing things up on the screen. That's always important and helps grow the channel. You know, keeps it worth our doing. We do a lot of cool stuff here and try and keep it awesome for you. Now, is there any way we could talk about maybe cutting a hatch in the floor, like some kind of escape? Do you remember, what is it, Walking Tall with The Rock? What was the movie with the stick and he's the sheriff?
Dwayne Johnson. Yes, I think it was Walking Tall.
And Johnny Knoxville.
And that was a remake of another movie. I never saw the
older one. Yeah, the older one was good too. But, Buford T.
It was, I forget what his actual name was, but it sounded like a real redneck name.
Yeah,
the actual guy, because it was a real story.
And you know, he cleaned up the town with a 4x4, right? You know, and so it's like, hey, whatever it takes. But he ended up. They were in at the sheriff's office was like a trailer, and I guess they had like a little hatch on the floor, and the other sheriffs came and showed up. Buford Pusser, is that right? I don't know.
Sounds right.
But anyway, the other guys came up and they shot up the whole place. They went down through the floor and they hit out. I've often considered, when the ATF shows up, that may be an option I want to have for my house.
Right.
You know, I saw that movie about Ruby Ridge, and I was like, hey, you know, you got to keep your options open. Even better if you can dig a tunnel to the barn or whatever that you can kind of slip out.
Yeah.
I don't know about the tunnel because that's more work than I'm willing to do. I don't know if you have a backhoe. I have a tractor with a bucket. I'm still not digging that tunnel. You know, that sounds like work.
Yeah.
But
now do you remember doing a podcast?
We did do a podcast.
Do you remember doing a podcast about the Mad Trapper?
Oh, the Mad Trapper, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what he had done is they were coming out to him, to his cabin, and he just dug a big hole in his floor because it was dirt floor. And they surrounded his house and just started shooting it up. And he just laid down in that hole there. And when they broke the door in, he was laying right there with a shotgun pointed at him and took a couple of people out and was able to actually escape from there.
Well, that's the thing.
So, I mean, it's definitely an option.
You can definitely make a trap door in the floor. And the thing is, like, it maybe doesn't have to be as secure as, hey, you know, they're never going to find this. Or maybe it just has to be secure enough that they come in and look around the house and they don't notice and you already got gone by then. And then an hour later when they're like, where the hell do you go? Oh, look, there was a trap door under the rug over here. Well, yeah, but you're already gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you're gone. And that's, you know, that's an option. You got to keep, you know, that kind of thing going.
Yeah, I think that's you know, there's a lot of options as far as that sort of stuff, those underground tunnels. And it's not like a made-up thing. I mean, people have actually done this and had it work out. But a lot of people build those, use those concrete culverts and the steel culverts, and we'll just basically bury them under the ground. You want to find something that's designed for being buried under the ground. Connex boxes are not going to work, you know? But those concrete culverts that they have for storm drains that are big, you can connect those, dig a big hole, connect them all together, and you're in business, man. Little tunnel out. You know who is always working on this shit? Crystal Method.
Yes!
Because they're up 24 hours a day coming up with crazy ideas, thinking up crazy shit, and they're the ones that will dig a tunnel out through the side of their basement and have the shit collapse on them and kill them, you know?
Right.
If you ever want to have some crazy ideas or some crazy traps in your house, find some crystal meth addicts because they're really
already looked into this. All right.
Yeah, I've found all sorts of weird shit that drug, you know.
And you might be able to like trade them a dentist visit for, you know, some work. I don't know.
Fix some of those fucked up teeth. I don't know what you do. Yeah.
I'm a horrible person. But, you know, hey, you got to keep your options open. I know you remember they had that show Weeds, and they were talking later on, like one of the later seasons, they were talking about the tunnels underneath, you know, going between Mexico and the United States. And I mean, they're so elaborate. They're hiring like engineers and, you know, you can get really involved.
Right. And they had motorbikes and stuff in there because it was such a long run that it would take too long to walk it.
And hey, now that we have the electric Harley Davidson, your options are limitless.
Right, that's right. You know, you could go with a golf cart. You know, maybe you need a Harley though. I don't know what your life is like.
If you're man enough that you drove or you created a giant underground drug tunnel from one country to another country, I feel like you should be riding a Harley. You're not like, hey, I'm a golf cart wearing a baggy pants and a little ball on your head like a Scotsman.
Right.
Come on.
Yep.
You got to own it.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's not plaid, but I mean.
Oh, it doesn't have to be plaid?
Yeah, I mean, you can do like stripes like a, you know, like a convict with the white, black and white stripes. You know, get fun with it. Be crazy. I don't know what kind of apocalypse costume you have planned, but I fully support it.
You know, we got to keep our options open. So the hole in the floor, definitely a good way to go. I know you always like to mention other things with home security, like carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. I know that's a favorite of yours. Because that's all, you know, that's part of it. It's all about keeping your family safe. But really looking for ways to shore it up. I gotta say, learning to be proficient with firearms, learning to protect yourself, learning some self-defense skills, learning to notice change, you know, pay attention to what's going on. Hey, you know, I've noticed there's a car sitting out, you know, on the street by my house. That doesn't mean you have to call the cops or panic. It's just, hey, what's going on over there? Wonder what that guy's about. Yeah. And you just start to pay attention. You know, that's the option.
Right. I mean, there's things that are that happen that increase chances of dangerous situations. And one of them is power outages. A lot of people think of that as like a shitty thing that happens that you have to deal with sometimes. But there are shitty people that look at that as an opportunity. You know what I mean? When there's all the lights are out everywhere, you can kind of creep around people's houses. And people do that shit. People, you know, there's some people that are just disgusting people. And
see, I thought the opportunity was to do some shady electrical work without... But no, that's not... See, my mind goes different places, you know? I was like, hey, power's out. I can get right in the box and make some real changes here. That's...
Right, do some work.
I mean, yeah, they might turn it back on while I'm working on it.
At any minute, it might come back on. But that's all right.
The adrenaline. It keeps you moving in it.
Yeah, that's what... that's the fun part.
Again,
right?
This shouldn't be construed as legal advice. I would also say... it shouldn't be construed as good advice. It's a crapshoot, you know? Take it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, a lot of this is not just legally dubious. It's
just questionable.
It's just a bad idea, but I mean, whatever.
You know, Kevin likes to keep you guys sharp, you know? You got to learn to pick and choose. Every episode is like a test.
If you do something stupid enough that'll get him killed in every episode, then... it's not worth doing the podcast.
Every episode is like a test of your wits. But that's, you know, hey, to each their own. I would also say make sure your firearms and things are accessible. Make sure things are working like you thought they should be working, you know?
Right. And if you have kids in the house, teach them about the gun.
Gun safety.
Don't keep it like a secret that seems super interesting that they want to find out about when you're not home.
No, that's not
teach
the way to go.
Teach them about it. Teach them how it operates and teach them how dangerous it can be. Then they won't be, you know, a kid could get in your car and crash into a tree and kill themselves, but they don't do that because cars aren't that weird. They're in cars all the time, you know? They understand how it works and what it does, but a gun, man, that seems interesting.
That is interesting.
You don't see a gun very often when you're an 8-9-year-old.
And
you know, they should be aware that it's in your house and how dangerous it is and how it operates. And all those sorts of stuff. You should be, if you have kids and you have a firearm, you should be teaching them firearm safety, whether they're big enough to use it or not.
Now, I'm not sure if any of you guys know about Palmetto State Armory, but you might like to buy guns there. I like to buy guns there. They have an event called The Gathering, and they basically have a lot of the vendors that sell their products on their website come out and demo the new gear for the next year, and you actually get to shoot and try out some of the scopes and guns and triggers and awesome things that are out there. Maybe something that you're interested. Just saying, it's next weekend. You can go on their website, search it out. The reason I bring it up is because I'm going to be there, and you may want to look for me. And you could be like, hey, that's that guy with the dumb beard from the Survival and Basic Badass podcast. All right, just a thought. I will actually try and get some video. I think I might even do the podcast from South Carolina.
From
anything's possible, you know, or see what I can do. I don't know how the recording's going to work and how it's all going to play out, but I think we're going to set something up. And otherwise, you can follow us and see what's going on by subscribing to our email list at preppingbadass.com. You can get badass gear, but I don't know about our badass gear. I know that we have a coffee mug that's freaking awesome. Some of those shirts, I know that the design is spectacular. I'm not sure that I maybe want to look for another vendor for our shirts, though. I do question the quality that the company puts out that's manufacturing them.
Yeah.
So you use your judgment on that at your own risk. We need a micro dagger. I will check into this. I would say you can email us with questions, concerns, comments, preppingbadass@gmail.com. And with that, I would say stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self Defense Radio Network.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more. I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.